everyone. Welcome to everyone who is presenting and who is joining as the audience. This session is called Health Behavior, and we have 6 presentations scheduled. I am not sure that everyone is here yet, but we will try and go through them as much as we can in the order that we can. We are starting with bringing evidence to enable awareness interventions using behavioral insight survey in Kosovo during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's presented by Merita Berisha of the National Institute of Public Health of Kosovo and the University of Pristina in Kosovo. So, Merita, if you want to share your screen, indeed, go ahead.
Thank you. Just a minute.
No intenté poner el vídeo.
Vale, perfecto.
Y mira si está silenciado o no está silenciado.
Sí.
¿Ha cerrado, no?
Sí.
¿Estaba poniendo una parte?
Que no.
¿Te estaba escuchando?
Merita, we don't hear your presentation. Did you press play?
Sorry.
Did you click on play? At the moment, we only see your presentation, but we don't hear anything.
And
yes, I think the problem is you have to allow the sound when start you sharing a screen. In the sharing screen is an option and allow sound.
Okay. Well, if you prefer, I will share it.
Do you have the video presentation?
I believe I do.
Or simply when you share it and then you click the icon at the bottom, share.
Actually, the presentation I have seems to be empty. No, you'll have to do it, but you have to allow for sharing the sound.
Just let me understand what I need to do. I think I have enabled the microphone.
Okay, but now we don't see your presentation. We
see. Yes, but I will click and it will start immediately. Do you see now? Do you hear?
No, and we see the agenda. And the problem is when I open your presentation that I have on file, it doesn't show me a presentation. It's an empty document.
Okay, I can do it. Okay, I can do it, but I wasn't sure that I will.
Sorry, when you click the share screen, is an option in the bottom, share sound as well. Has to be clicked as well.
Share screen
and open the screen, and in the bottom, there's a share sound.
I don't see this share sound at the bottom. There are breakout rooms, reactions.
No. Click in share screen. Click in share screen.
Yes.
And when the window, no, before that.
Okay, well, I suggest we start with the first scheduled.
I will do it. I will present.
Yeah, but when you click the share screen, before the screen sharing, is a window, is a previous window. Has to be a previous window.
I click first share screen.
And opens a window.
I clicked. Now share sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
that's
do
it.
I need to click optimize for video clip?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I understand.
Just,
now
yeah,
I
found. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome.
I hope it will work now. Dear ladies and gentlemen, greetings to all of you. I am Associate Professor Merita Berisha, Director of the Department for Social Medicine at the National Institute of Public Health of Kosovo and Chief of Cathedra at the Medical Faculty, University of Pristina. I have pleasure to present bringing evidences to enable awareness interventions using behavioral insight survey in Kosovo during COVID-19 pandemic. In January 2020, the World Health Organization announced the outbreak of coronavirus disease. Kosovo has declared the public health emergency on the 15th of March 2020 and designed the National Response Plan prepared from the National Institute of Public Health with detailed component for communication. The study aims to describe the preparation process of assessment of the knowledge, risk perceptions, preventive behaviors, and trust to inform pandemic outbreak response through behavioral insights tool in order to bring evidences for COVID-19 outbreak response efforts, enabling policy and awareness interventions and monitoring COVID pandemic in Kosovo. In the beginning, we did a quick cross-sectional CAP survey for COVID-19, and then we decided to start with a larger study in collaboration with WHO in Kosovo related to behavioral insights. So we created a multidisciplinary research team and achieved ethical approval for the survey from Medical Chamber of Kosovo. Then we achieved consensus on the adopted questionnaires per wave. And we did two waves during October and November. And we got approval of the results from the first two waves. Then we shared the main findings with stakeholders responsible for COVID-19 pandemic's management. And based on the evidences we got, we designed an interventional campaign named Bashkor Together. Acknowledgement for support to the national and international institutions, civil society in Kosovo, and thank you for organizing this conference and all of you for your attention. Thank you for your attention. Sorry for delays.
That's okay. We have our first successful presentation. Thank you very much, Merita. Now, since you have to leave before other people, does anyone have any questions for Merita now? I think we might as well do hers at this moment. There are no questions. Okay, we will keep going then.
Thank you.
I will share now the presentation for Kulman. Now we have, and just a quick introduction before I do that. Okay, so non-medical usage of anabolic androgenic steroids, AAS, by members of fitness clubs in Almaty, Kazakhstan. Presenting is Kulman Nisambayeva from Kazakhstan Medical University in Kazakhstan. Did I pronounce your name correctly? If you want to correct me, you're welcome to do that.
So thank you, thank you, Lena. Kulman.
Thank you. So, I am showing now your presentation. Does everyone see it correctly?
Yes.
Okay, I think again we have an issue with the sound. I understand it's meant to be.
Liana, it is just a presentation, but I sent previously my recorded video.
Okay, but it's in a separate file.
Yes.
Okay.
I think you have to stop of sharing screen before to play the video. And now sharing again with the video.
Aliena, if you don't mind, I can to present it my video.
Jan, wouldn't it be easier if the poster is just presented? There's no sound.
Diana, is there no sound? Maybe I present alive with my alive voice.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry.
Could you share my presentation?
Yes, I can do that. I'm sorry. I thought you were hearing it correctly because I can hear it correctly, and it sounded like it was going well. I'm sorry. Okay. Listen. Here we are. Now, do you see, does everybody see the screen?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. First of all, I just say to many thanks for organizer of this conference. Liana, thank you for your moderating. I'm Kulman Sanbaeva, PhD student from Kazakh Medical University of High School of Public Health. Today, I want to present my paperwork dedicated to non-medical usage of anabolic androgenic steroid among Almaty Fitness Center consumer. Currently, anabolic androgenic steroids are increasingly used for non-medical purpose, but not improving athletic performance. So uncontrolled use of anabolic steroid is considered as a growing public health problem. In the Republic of Kazakhstan, fitness industry is one of the main trends to provision of service to population in the field of physical culture in the sport, in particular of the recreational sport. We use the cross-sectional study, pilot study. The study involved 47 participants at average age of responder 34.3 plus minus 11.2 years. A survey prepared by authors consisted of 23 closed questions about AAU's usage, exercise dependence, and awareness of the harmful effect of anabolic steroid usage. The data was collected in Almaty from October 2020 in the most popular fitness club. The responders completed questionnaire with a strict anonymity. Next one, please, Liana. We obtained next result. 67% of questionnaire were completed. 71 questionnaires were collected for analysis, fully and legitimately completed for paper, and 47 were accepted. The pilot study revealed that one-time experience of usage anabolic steroids was reported by 89.4% of respondents, and 36.2% reported regular drug use. One of the main factors influence of the use of doping drugs, according to the anonymous response of the respondents, is defined as body mass set and acquisition of stamina. Conclusion, in addition to positive social effects, the intensive development of mass sport, including in commercial segment, carries also potential threats for public health in the context and the increased use of doping drugs. It's therefore essential that fitness center take an active stand against doping communicative clearly with their members and implement initiative and is necessary. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Kulman, and thank you very much for your patience as we try to organize. Thank you very much.
I'm ready for any questions.
What do you think is the appropriate intervention to do following this? And are you planning to
have this data?
Yeah.
Thank you for your question. Yes, it's just a pilot study for actualization my PhD work. My PhD study dedicated to interventional program in Kazakhstan for preventing doping or particularly anabolic steroids usage.
Right. Well, congratulations. Yes.
Thank you.
I think that it's very interesting, this study, because younger people is very need a very health promotion, and this study contributes to health promotion for the younger people.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It is a very wide spread problem in the world. Many studies dedicated to this problem, and that revealed that it is a growing problem in public health. Anabolic steroid usage is another performing enhancing drug usage.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you for your questions, for your comments.
Thank you. Okay. I am having an issue now with the poster on bringing evidence to enable. Oh, no, here it is. no, it says that I cannot read the poster that was submitted. There's a problem with the file, I believe. Okay, hold on just 1 minute. Do we have here Fuyu Chan? I do not see this person. Okay. So Oh, sorry. Okay. I will try once again to share a video. This is a presentation on the effectiveness of skin health promotion intervention, an experimental study by Fuyu Chan, National Taiwan University in Taiwan. She has submitted, she's not here as far as I can tell, and it's probably midnight where she is. So I will play her video and I'm hoping that this works properly. What were the instructions, were there specific instructions to allow for sound, because I didn't quite get them and I don't see why it shouldn't work. I will try playing it. Can people hear it?
Not here and not you.
You cannot hear
and not
it.
Seen. And not seen too.
Because my sound is on. Okay, can we get some assistance from, what were the instructions? I'm sorry. The person labeled as poster one who sometimes gives advice. What do you suggest that I do? I see that I have an audio channel. Do I need to mute myself? I will try it once more.
Leanne, I think you have to activate audio before sharing the presentation. When you are going to share screen, a small screen appears.
It doesn't ask me. It's not asking me to activate anything.
Yeah, sorry. When you click sharing a screen,
yes,
a window appears.
Yes.
And that window in the bottom in the left, share sound,
has to
be activated.
Sorry, it's very small, but yep. I see it now. Okay, I will start again.
Hello. My name is Fuyu Chan, and I'm from Taiwan. I'm a PhD in health promotion, and I'm also the founder of the UniU Biotech. It's my great honor to share my study with you today, My work is mainly focused on skin health promotion. In my other research, I have found that air pollution is associated with skin health. In this study, I developed an intervention and I evaluated its effectiveness. We already know that air pollutants are associated with skin health. However, a health promotion program aiming to protect skin health from air pollution is still limited. Therefore, the purpose of this study was to develop a skin health promotion program and evaluate its effectiveness. This study was an experimental design. We recruited 60 adults over 20 years old who live in communities in Taipei. The subjects were assigned to the experimental and the control groups, including 31 and 29 subjects. The experimental group received a two-week skin health promotion program based on the integrated behavior model. As you can see, the content of the intervention include using imagery, environmental evaluation, and mobilizing social support, and so on. In contrast, the control group received a typical skin health education. We have four outcome measures. The first outcome is skin redness, which was measured by VCR7 imaging system. The other three outcomes, including skin health knowledge, self-efficacy, and behavioral intention, were measured by questionnaire. Each subject received a skin test and questionnaire survey before and after the intervention, so we have data from pre-test and post-test. In data analysis, we conduct pair t-test, and more importantly, the generalized estimating equation, the GEE model, to evaluate its effectiveness. In a result, as you can see in the line chart, the red line is intervention group and the blue line is control group. We can see in skin redness, the intervention group was improved after the intervention, but the control group is not. The GEE model showed that the p-value of the group and the time interaction term was significant. This means the reduction of skin redness was greater in intervention group than control group. This result supports the effectiveness of the intervention. Also, in skin health knowledge and self-efficacy, we can see a similar pattern. The GEE model showed that interaction terms were also significant, means that the intervention group improved greater than the control group. However, in behavioral intention, we do not have the evidence to prove the effectiveness of the intervention. In conclusion, the skin health promotion program can reduce skin redness and improve skin health knowledge and self-efficacy. Therefore, this intervention could be used as a model for future skin health promotion policies. Thank you for your listening. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you. The person is not here. So it's unfortunate as I did have some questions, but that's okay. We have now, right, Teresa, I think I will ask you to read the title of your presentation in Catalan, if you don't mind.
You have the name in English too, no? No? Get yourself moving. Yes. Let's get active at work. Posa't en marxa, activa't a la feina.
Yes, I was also curious, but yes, get yourself moving. Let's get active at work.
At work.
I think that is quite relevant these days. So by Teresa Torres, Ayuntamiento de Mataró, Spain, and she also has a pre-recorded presentation. There we go. And I now, hold on, pause. Okay, I will share. And now I know how to do this, so we will be fine. Sorry, share this screen. Share. Okay. Do you see the right thing? Yes. Okay. Now I will press play, and you should be able to hear it.
The project we present today, Activa't a la Feina, is part of a municipal program named Posa't en Marxa, whose main objective is to promote the incorporation of physical activity in daily life of Mataró citizens. Going one step further, we wanted to transfer the objective of the program to the workplace. We pretend to promote physical activity as a prevention of health problems associated at work, contribute to emotional well-being, and promote transversal work within the organization. Mataró City Hall has a workforce of 1,327 workers. Most of them are dedicated to office work. Short and simple stretching exercises were proposed and conducted by a professional from the City Council Health Section in the workplace and during working hours. These active break sessions began in 2019 and were adapted to the lockdown for SARS-CoV-2 pandemic in March of 2020. In this second stage, face-to-face sessions were transformed into video capsules and sent to workers using the corporate channel entre nosaltres. This channel is usually used to share information related to the organization to all City Council employees by email. We also sent messages about healthy habits and commemorated some World Days related with health. This project was approved by Human Resources Department and was linked with other municipal and supramunicipal programs. Related to results, we can distinguish two phases. In 2019, we did 15 face-to-face sessions in 6 different services. 53 people took part with a high level of satisfaction. From March 20th to May 29th, during the lockdown, we sent 21 communications, 16 of which were videos. The contents of messages were stretching, breathing and relaxation exercises, ergonomic tips, healthy habits recommendations, and free time activity suggestions. We also commemorated 3 World Days: World Day of Physical Activity, World Day of Safety Work, and World Day of No Tobacco. Videos had nearly 3,000 views until December 2020, and some people of the staff sent us messages of gratitude. So we can conclude that it's necessary to consolidate active breaks in working hours. For this, it will be essential not only maintain the involvement of Human Resources Department, as well as to make staff and coordinators aware of the benefits that these breaks bring to individual and collective health. It's necessary to establish stable synergies with other municipal services. And finally, the good reception of the project by the staff reinforces the need to give continuity and keep working on this proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And it's good that we are functioning more smoothly as we go. Are there any questions for Teresa, who is present here? I might have one. I think that this is interesting, and I'm impressed with the number of views that you have of these videos. I think that a lot of similar initiatives might struggle with making sure that people do take the time and do these things. So I'm thinking the content must have been very engaging. How do you explain the attraction that this has had for people to actually be a part of it and do this exercise?
Well, we have not the certainly if people who has seen the video did the exercises, but we want to think that yes, no. I think this is the attractive was that people was at home working at home, and we offered a small break for enjoying different activity and connect with other moments of the day or moments of their life and enjoying this break.
Teresa, I think that is very good for the person to practice exercise and relaxing every day or in cualquier ocasión for your health. And it's interesting listen to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pilar. And now we are working for to be continued with the experience involving other services of other municipal services like sports service, and we have the support of the human resources management too,
mm-hmm.
And so we are working in this now in the continuity.
Thank you, Teresa. It's a very interesting presentation. exercise without anabolic steroids. Thank you.
Thank you, Kuman, yes. For your comments.
Yes, no, this is a very diverse group of, you know, they have something to do with behavior, but it's very different behaviors. So to pull all this together is a bit tricky, but I'm glad that you can see some links. And now we have another presentation by video, I believe, is, I do not think that Miquel is here, Benassar, Benny, or someone taking their place. There's no one here to present the intervention based on prescribed health assets. First, physical activity causes a higher adherence to the recommended physical activity. No one is here for that. Okay, so I do have a video, which I'll be happy to present. It is from the University of the Balearic Islands in Spain, from Miquel Benassar Beni. But I think it's someone else presenting in the video. I will just set it up. Sorry, I'm pausing sharing screen. And go.
Hi, I am Aino Riera, and I will explain to you this publication, which has a title of The Intervention Based on Prescribed Health Assets for Physical Activity Cause a Higher Adherence to the Recommended Physical Activity. Cardiovascular disease are a global health problem. 80% of cardiovascular disease could be avoided by adopting healthy lifestyles like physical activity. There is wide evidence that physical activity provides multiple benefits. The objective was to evaluate the effectiveness of 12-month multifactorial intervention by primary healthcare nurses using health assets to increase the adherence to prescribed physical activity in patients with cardiovascular risk. The intervention was performed by nurses in 4 visits and included a motivational interview and a physical activity prescription using health assets. The health assets encouraging physical activity were set out in the health assets booklet, which was the main tool for prescription. The main dependent variable was the adherence to prescribed physical activity, measured as the number of participants who perform at least 150 minutes of physical activity per week. Initial adherence to the recommended minimum of 150 minutes of physical activity was high. At the end of the intervention, adherence to the physical activity recommended minimum levels was higher in the intervention than the control group. However, this higher adherence did not suppose higher physical activity levels, as no differences between groups were found for total physical activity performed after the intervention. At the end of the study, participants from the intervention group spent more time walking than participants belonging to the control group. In conclusion, in populations with high physical activity levels, the prescription protocol tested could be more useful in terms of maintaining rather than increasing physical activity levels. The inclusion of walking routes in all health assets booklet could have induced the higher time spent walking in the intervention group. Thanks to listen to me.
Okay, so, well, we do not have the speaker, but are there any comments on this? I think it relates back to the previous presentation in a way. I mean, it's another physical activity project.
Leanne?
Yes?
We have in Mataró a similar experience. Based on prescription of activitat física, physical activity, sorry, by professionals, health professionals in the center for people who has problems of obesity or diabetes or something like this. We didn't do the study. The problem is the research. We have a so difficult for doing research in the city council.
Yes, and I think one of the challenges and mentioned in the poster too is maintaining these kinds of initiatives over time to stay within some interesting. Right. So, to stay with interesting impacts and results. Sorry, my face is going from one screen to the other, but I am listening to you. And now we have another presentation. Is the person here? No, we did this one. It is now Pilar Lopez of Valencia. So, promotion of health and cultural diversity. Mrs. Pilar Lopez Sanchez from the Valencia Office of Community Action or Health in Spain. Just give me one second. I had your presentation. I think I have two versions.
The version is with video.
Yeah.
I am a nurse. I work in a public health center in Valencia, Spain. I work in promotion health in vulnerability populations. And this word is for research about professionals, health professional with
Pilar.
A formation. Yes.
Sorry, do you want me to start playing it or?
Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was having troubles with the two versions, but I have your correct version now. So I will share it.
This segment is recorded.
can people hear this?
In support of the IUHPE. This segment is recorded in support of the IUHPE, European Conference on Health Promotion. 15 and 16 June 2021, Girona. Health Promotion, Transformative Action in a Changing Europe. Title: The Impact of Cultural Diversity Training on Health Professionals in Valencia. Authors: Pilar López Sánchez, Eva Legaz Sánchez, Patricia Castañeda Gordillo, Inmaculada González Serrano, Lillian Castro Rojas, Anna Selno, and Aaron Connor. Introduction. Health professionals face a culturally diverse society in the 21st century as the phenomenon of globalization and migratory flows directed to cities create a form of urbanization where various groups share the same space and yet do not exist in ways that allow them to relate to each other culturally. In 2018, the first edition of the course Health Education and Cultural Diversity was held at the Valencian School of Health Studies, aimed at healthcare staff. Objective: to learn the opinion of health professionals to improve cultural diversity training. Methodology: after the training, a qualitative research study and verbatim content analysis was carried out through the use of surveys. The survey consisted of 10 open questions, 5 dedicated to the training experience, and 5 to the evaluation of the course methodology. Faculty: public health professionals, applied linguistics and cultural studies professionals, and health community workers trained in the Mi Salud program. Results: 18 surveys have been analyzed, 16 women and 2 men. Starting point: a certain fear and distance towards the unknown, a certain insecurity, with some prejudice, perceived changes, dose of reality. There is diversity of cultures and diversity of opinions and nuances. Within each culture, my opinion has changed a lot toward other cultures. Listen and respect with patience. Training: it enables me to serve better. It has offered me guidelines and ideas to promote health in the municipality. I have learned to put myself in the place of the other. Expectations: more time. I found it interesting, but it was too short. There is a lot to learn from other cultures. An enriching experience. It has taught me to listen and put myself in the other person's shoes to know what they feel and the problems they may have. Conclusions: the course revealed the cultural stereotypes held by health professionals. Health professionals recognized that the course helped them better understand local cultural health education strategies, the importance of sharing experiences in the first person between the HCWs and the health professionals is highlighted.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, that was clear. And this is the last presentation. So I think we have a little bit, it's 4 minutes till the end of this session, I believe, but we have a few minutes if there are comments or questions. Or Pilar. If there are no questions, I think, I think this is very interesting. And we were, if you were in the plenary session before this poster session, there was some talk about the importance of the workforce training, the importance of looking at ourselves as health promoters, as one of the challenges that we need to address. And I think that this kind of training is a response to some of that. And it's something that's an issue. It resonates with me because I live in Canada and we have the same kind of conversation at a certain volume now that we haven't heard before around really training people to deal with, to work within and to support different views of health promotion, different views of health, different cultural ideas about what health promotion is, you know, including in our Aboriginal communities. So what do you think, Pilar, is the next step for you concretely in your region? What are the challenges that you see and how do you think that this helps to address them?
This opportunity to help to promotion health with another culture is very, very rich for all the people because in the program, we formed to persons with the other countries, Pakistan, South America, Senegal, Africa, Spain, Romania, and this person stay in the same place and the convivance promotes health. Do you understand? Yes.
Yes, it's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you for your listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Pilar. It's very interesting presentation. I have one question. Is Valencia has many culture people?
Yes. From 20.
Due to migration, yes.
Yes.
Refugees from Syria, Pakistan.
There are people the all the world. But in Valencia, I work with 60 nationality in promotion. Yes, in promotion health. Wow. And this situation is improve my work and the convivance promote health. It is necessary to capacity to the health professional. Because sometimes I have miedo, stereotypes.
They're afraid of stereotypes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Pilar. It's very interesting. Thank you. In Kazakhstan, 125 nationalities.
It's more.
Yes.
Yes. A lot of diversity, and it's important to work with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you everyone. I will not keep you longer and I apologize again for the bumpiness at the beginning. I was brought on to replace someone at the last minute and I wasn't quite sure how to manage this this moderation, but I think we found our rhythm and we were able to get through it. So thank you very much. I did not introduce myself at the beginning, but my name is Liane Kumo, and I am the executive director of the IUHP International Secretariat based in Montreal. And so it's a pleasure really to be able to engage with this conference and to hear some of the content that our partners in Europe have put together, the scientific committee. It's very diverse, it's very interesting. I'm very happy to be here. I hope this is the last session for today. I hope you will join again tomorrow. And I do want to extend to you a special invitation to our 70th anniversary event tomorrow afternoon. So I think it starts at 2 p.m. for people in Europe, well, Central European time, 8 in the morning for me, but I'll be there. And we have a very good lineup of people who recognize the intent and the role and the mission and the mandates of IUHBE over the years and for the future. So I think it will be an interesting session to attend. And of course, in the morning, we continue with the scientific programming of the 11th European Regional Conference. So thank you very much to everyone for your presence, for your attention, for your patience as well. And I hope to see you all tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.